Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Every day at noon, we spin you around the Beltway, talk about the teams that are doing things that you care about. We call it the Beltway Blitz. Let's get it started first, Tommy, with the Washington Redskins. Our Redskins insider Chris Russell joins us by miracle of technology. Grant Paulson is out. Craig Hoffman is in. It's Grant and Annie, except no Grant. You get the point. Russell, let's jump to this. The Jimmy Garoppolo signing. What does that mean for the Redskins, the free agent marketplace, Kirk Cousins? Kind of put it in perspective for us.
Well, Kirk Cousins is obviously going to get more. He should get more. He will get more, especially as a true free agent, whenever that happens, which we assume will be on the first day of the league year, unless the Redskins come up with some cockamamie way of restricting him once again for a third consecutive year, or at least a portion. So Kirk is going to get paid. He's going to get paid, again, I don't want to say a lot more than Jimmy Garoppolo, but he's going to definitely get paid more, and I think it'll be a pretty significant amount more. In terms of the Redskins, guys, I don't know. I mean, it just exposes how horrible their thought process was after the 2015 season. I'm sorry. I will not back down from that. They completely screwed the pooch, and they're ultimately still spinning their wheels.
I don't know who you're apologizing to. I don't think you're going to have any disagreement here or really many other places when you see how these contracts play out. Let me ask you this, though. Because you like me, talk to agents, talk to people around the league, whatever it is. Now that they have had quarterback settled for, 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever it's been, are you surprised they haven't followed up with any other moves? Getting guys who seem like they logically should be back, like a Ryan Grant, let's say, done. Are you surprised that there's, now that they have the stability at quarterback, they haven't gone on and made some additional moves?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously a great question, Craig. I mean, you know, no, I'm not surprised, because a lot of guys do want to test free agency, whether it be Junior Gallette, whether it be Zach Brown, maybe that's even including Ryan Grant. Not sure on that. I'm sure they are trying and efforting to come closer to deals and try and prevent these guys from hitting the open market, the guys that they've identified at the price that they want to identify. The problem is, you know, if we use the Kirk Cousins situation as, you know, kind of a barometer, and other situations under Bruce Allen and to a lesser degree under Eric Schaefer, we all know that in order to get the Redskins to get these players to bypass free agency, you're going to have to come up with an aggressive offer. And the Redskins often lowball, and they often come in low with the thought process of going higher if a player or if an agent is willing to work with them. So if you're a player and you say, oh, wait a second, I think I can get this based on 31 other teams possibly being able to pay me that, and you're only offering that, why would I sign right now? I might be willing to sign, but I'm going to wait and see what others can offer me during that legal tampering period and then in free agency. So I'm not really that surprised.
Russell, you're a good man and thorough. Appreciate it as always, my friend.
Thanks, fellas.
That is that. I want to talk puck, please, Tommy. Bring on Rob Carlin from NBC Sports Washington. He talks some puck. He talks some puck real good. Rob, preview this one. Second time we see Columbus here in a row. Give us some to-dos and don'ts here for tonight.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, avoid the chippy play, because, you know, it's the same team back-to-back, and Columbus, John Tortorella team, is not going to be afraid to straddle the line of legal and illegal play at time. So, you know, I'm just play a good, complete game. and see if they can get out with another result tonight.
Rob, a lot of times when these back-to-back happens, they are on back-to-back night, the home-and-home, where they'll play. Both teams will fly simultaneously down to a new city and play again. How does the dynamic of the back-to-back change, considering there's been a couple days in between these games?
Well, it probably does negate some of the, you know, what I was just referencing, that sort of like built-up anger that develops when you see the same guy, you know, in two straight days. But you know, at this point in the season, with everything as tight as it is, especially for Columbus, because they're all of a sudden scrapping for their playoff lives. So you know, you can't get sucked into that type of thing. There might be some sort of paybacks with Tom Wilson and Josh Anderson, which is a pretty good heavyweight battle the other night. But you know, we'll see. I mean, hopefully the Caps just go out there and play their game and not get worried about it. They're not that type of team that gets suckered into that type of stuff anyway, other than Tom Wilson, who's always kind of looking for a reason anyway. But, you know, I expect them to go out there and you know, play their game and not get worried about what Columbus is or isn't doing.
So, Rob, to me, the guy asks Tommy about this every time on the show. Every time we have a hockey guest on, I over-ask about this. But it's like the thing I can't stop focusing on. Andrei Burakovsky. How do you fix it? Yeah. What do you do? It's this problem of confidence, and then he doesn't play well. Then he loses less confidence when he gets benched. It's a bad cycle that we're in at this point. What's to be done?
I don't know, because this is 4 years of this with the same coach. It's not Tom Wilson, who was thrown in too early and, you know, maybe stunted some of his development for a while. And, you know, this has been an ongoing problem. And we see flashes from Burakovsky where you think, okay. And then for whatever reason, this year is a lot of injuries, but even when he's in there, it's just been really ineffective. So I don't know. I'm starting to get a little concerned about him because at this point, we talked about this. We tape our Caps Extra podcast after every game. And at this point, I feel more confident that when Jacob Vrana snaps out of it, goals are going to start to come because he seems to score in bunches and the confidence comes and he's still a rookie. Burakovsky at this point, I don't really have any confidence that he's going to snap out of it. And I think the coaching staff is concerned. So you know, that's a you know, big thing that they have to figure out. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they really put a lot of pressure on him because at some point he needs to live up to, you know, the short, but, you know, contract that they gave him, and he has not done it. And this year has just turned into a lost season of development for him.
Rob, you never slump. That handsome face delivers every single night. Talk to you soon, pal.
You're sweet.
There
All right,
you
see you guys.
There goes Rob. I want to talk Wizards, please, Tommy. Bring on Nick Ashew. He's so handsome. He's so hot right now to talk some Wizards with us.
Nick, last night, Wizards lose, but it's without Wall. The game goes to overtime. All in all, encouraged or discouraged by that performance?
They're road weary. That was the biggest worry that I had. They just looked tired by the end of that. Plus, the game then goes to overtime. I mean, don't get me wrong. There were some bad mistakes late. Like, the number one thing you don't do in the NBA when you're up three in the final seconds of a game is foul a three-point shooter.
Let me write
and
that down.
Write that down real quick. And then if you can
put an extra side note, especially if he makes all of the free throws all of the time.
He's
and then
90%
also,
shooter.
Also, don't do it in overtime again. So that's another thing you may want to write down.
When
there.
It's your sixth foul.
Yeah, look, there were some mistakes. The execution late with Bradley Beal on that last second shot was horrible. I don't know what they were trying to do. It's like they sort of faked a pick and pop, and then Beal just kind of dribbled into a triple team and threw up an awkward-looking shot. But they were tired, and Beal didn't play well. But this is what happens when you play three straight games on the road. You come home and then know, hey, we're going back out on the road now again. I mean, they're in Chicago tomorrow. This team's in a tough stretch right now. We knew this was going to be a tough stretch for them.
Nikolai, I want to get to a couple things. One, I like not going hard to give up future flexibility or losing things with the trade deadline yesterday. The byproduct, though, is they're trying to tread water now, and you got to lean on your best players for that. AKA, Bradley Beal has played north of 40 minutes in three straight games.
Yeah.
48 last night. He looked exhausted to me trying to get shots up, and, of course, he didn't make them. He was one for his last million as the game went on. That's a huge concern. This is somebody who has had wear and tear problems over his career, presumably behind him, but this is a great way to get him back.
Well, this has also been the issue for years with the Wizards, is playing their starters too many minutes because they haven't been able to count on their bench before. What I'm hoping is, and this is sort of just one of those pipe dreams, is that, you know, once Wall comes back, which we know is still probably another month and a half, is that guys like Satoransky and Tim Frazier, who have seen more minutes, will now be more accustomed to their role on the team, be maybe just more confident and be able to play more minutes because they'll play better. Like, I know that's just kind of a wishful thinking thing, but like you and I have talked about this a lot this year where we've kind of just put our hands up like Ricky Bobby going, I don't know what's going on right now with this team. So, I look, they're going to have to lower Bradley Beal's minutes, but it's tough with Wall being out when Beal is your guy. I don't know how else they approach this, though. Like, Beal is so important in this team, and it's not like they've got, like, they don't have, like, a 7 or 8 game lead in the division right now.
Right.
So it's a really tough spot for them to be in. Now, what I'm hoping for, though, is that they put themselves in a position where they get one or two buyout candidates. I'd love Joe Johnson to be bought out, and then they sign Joe Johnson.
I'd love that.
He'd be a massive addition for this team.
Somebody that can knock down a shot coming off of that bench. Always helpful. Nick, thank you, buddy.
Anytime, guys.
That is the Beltway Blitz. It's how we do it. 12:18 right here on The Fan. Ted Leonsis is doing a really good thing. Monumental Sports is doing a really good thing, and I'll tell you why it's so good 5 minutes away. And then we want your suggestions for how they should do it. We'll explain. 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Stuff like this makes me really happy, Craig. Welcome back to the show. It's Grant and Danny on The Fan. Craig is in for Grant, who is getting hitched this weekend. Excited about that. Congrats to him and his darling bride. Stories like this make me very happy on several levels. What I always want, and this is just sort of a general life thing, I want customers, of which I'm one of a great many companies, appreciated. I know how business works in the sense that once they've got you, they've got to try to find new customers. That's how money gets made. That's how businesses expand and grow. I'm not crazy. I'm not stupid. But I don't like that it sometimes is at the expense of the existing customer. I've been pouring money into my cell phone company for a decade.
Right.
Do something nice for me.
Right.
I don't need special treatment.
See, the cable companies, the cell phone companies, like, if you join now, you can get a way better price than all of the people that have been paying us forever.
He said, wait a minute. I've made you guys rich.
Right.
There's a guy who's got a vacation home because I pay on time every month. And that's, I'm fine to do that. I appreciate the service. Otherwise, I'd opt out. But what I never like the lack of customer appreciation that I often feel from these industries that are out there. An entertainment industry, which is ultimately what pro sports is, college sports really to a degree is the same kind of thing as they charge monies for tickets and the like. There is a public interest in these teams, and there's that borderline of, is it actually that close to a public interest because of public money and financing and taxes and breaks? So it's more than, say, tiddlywinks in the park, and it's less than, say, the governor of your state in terms of public interest.
Correct.
There needs to be accountability to local markets, and I'm going somewhere with this. Capital One Arena, here's the headline from the D.C. Sports Bar. Capital One Arena will get a $40 million facelift with modernized concourses and new concessions. So I see that and I go, all right, let's see the fine print here. Let's see what it is. Is it a municipal bond where there's a public loan and then this money, and then it's going to be saved via an interest rate or via some sort of tax break where the billionaire owners and their companies that make money, they're not in the business to lose money, are doing just fine and taxpayers don't need to foot the bill. This is a privately funded $40 million renovation to Capital One Arena, basically funded by Monumental Sports and Entertainment. This is me saying, yes, Ted, yes, Zach, yes, everybody associated with this, Roger Modell, all the guys that are the big wigs over there that make these decisions, thank you so much.
This is awesome.
This is awesome. We focus on negative an awful lot. I get irritated that Ernie Grunfeld hands out a bad contract to somebody and nobody can get past the fact that I say that and give him credit for certain moves. No one cares about anything else. I'm trying to say something positive right now, and I still somehow found a way to be a negative answer.
What are you doing?
My point is, this is great. We should want this. We should applaud this. We should draw attention to it because, as I said, it's a positive step. When the Nationals do small things, they've done this incrementally over the years, where they've done some things that are really smart, ingratiated themselves with some local chefs, local restaurants to get their stuff in there. Now, again, it's not as if they're doing this altruistic humanitarian gesture over there. They charge rent and do a bunch of things. It's in their best interest to do it. But the point is, the food has dramatically improved at Nats Park. Things to do has dramatically improved at Nats Park. When it first opened, it was a stale, bland, boring concrete structure that had no DC to it. There's more character each and every year. A little bit more DC, a little bit more DC. Capital One Arena, at the time, the MCI Center, before Verizon Center, when it was put there, I grew up here, Craig. That area was not good. And beyond not good, it was bad.
Yeah.
Policemen didn't give you tickets if you ran red lights down there, because if you stopped at a red light, someone was going to come up and wash your windshield even though you didn't want it, and you're going to be harassed and harangued if you walked through there. It was dangerous. That neighborhood has transformed into something special. It's one of the jewels of the city, in my humble opinion. It's awesome down there. That's thanks to Abe Pollin and the Pollin family for putting the arena in that spot. I digress. This $40 million, hey, because we want to make this nicer for you, for people that are already paying. This, yeah, it's to entice new customers, but people are already paying or not paying to go to Caps games, Wizards games, Hoyas games, Mystic games, whatever the hell else, the Valor, etc. For customers, they are getting something nicer. Thank you, Monumental Sports Entertainment.
So long that we don't foot the bill in terms of higher concession prices, things like that, which, look, $40 million is a lot of money, but yep. not necessarily for Monumental. So I don't think that's necessarily going to be a massive trickle down where the customers are going to wind up footing the bill in a way that we feel that changes the clientele. Because that's always the complaint around pro sports in since, you know, the mid-2000s, if not before that, is, oh, the price of going to a game has become so much that the average fan mm-hmm. can't go anymore. This doesn't feel like a move that's going to change the clientele. I hope that it expands it in that the number one thing that I would like to see at Wizards games, you know, it's not as big of a problem at Capitals games for sure. I've not taken in as many of the mm-hmm. other sporting events that happen at Capital One Arena, but especially at Wizards game, and it was on full display last night. There's not enough Wizards fans. That's the biggest problem. So what can you do to make the experience better so that people want to come to the games?
Yes.
And whether that's improving the game presentation with new, you know, billboards, new scoreboards, new whatever it is, so that in the arena people are enjoying themselves more and then want to go to better food. Whatever it is, you have to create value for the customer so that the customer will actually show up, and then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because, hey, we had a great time at the Wizards games. Danny, you should bring your son and
exactly.
go to, and it just trickles down from there.
Exactly. So in the plans right now is a new sound system to improve. I think that's a great call. Instead of those purple seats, you know I'm talking about, there in the arena, you were there last night. There's mm-hmm. there's a couple sections where the seats are purple. I don't know how to describe it better than that. Those are going to be gone. Black seats that kind of fit more the vibe with mm-hmm. cup holders. Massive deal.
Cup holders, big
yes.
deal.
I know it sounds small. That's a huge deal, and that's awesome. They're going to start to do a little bit more of what the Nationals have done. Some of the local restaurants, celebrity chefs like Kat Cora, who is all over the Food Network, always used to win the Iron Chefs. She's awesome. Alex McCoy, local restaurant partners. Some of that stuff they're going to start to do. Nationals Park, again, ahead of the game, whether it's hot dogs, whether it's Ben's Chili Bowl, whether it's G, Mike Isabella's Delicious Sandwich Place. They are killing the game over there. They do a lot of awesome things. They're going to start to do this at Verizon Center. Again, I call it the Verizon Center, Capital One. This, to me, is so good on so many levels. I already touched on one. Here's my last one. And it sounds like I'm picking on the Redskins, and I kind of am, I guess. They're doing this before it's a problem.
Right.
Instead of taking, I give the Redskins credit for finally getting around to it, but a couple years ago, Bruce, with season ticket holders, goes, tell me what you guys want at FedEx. And the list of things that they desired was it was a Dostoevsky novel. It was like reading a manifesto. Because there's a ton of things that need improving, and they improved on some, or they tried to, but it was already a problem. Fans were already being driven away. It was almost too little too late to save some of these people the hassle and headache of getting in and out of there. And they did some things better a decade too late, in my opinion.
Right.
This is fixing it before it becomes a problem. This is the preventative maintenance. This is the, hey, in 5 years, this could be an issue. Let's stem it off at the pass and make it good now. I love that Monumental is doing this. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, and for the NBA crowd, it's always interesting because I have someone who's worked in multiple cities and been to a number of NBA arenas. Like, people go to NBA games to be seen. So having the Sini chef and things like that, and this is obviously more for Wizards than it would be for Caps, although right. the same vendors will be there. But the idea of, hey, let's go to our downtown arena and like, people get dressed up to go to an NBA game. It's kind of crazy. When I went last night, I was not there as a media member. I was there as a fan. I went in sweatpants. But most people are there and like we're going out close. And so like to have the It Chef and to have that experience of the good sound system and all that kind of stuff mm-hmm. where you can have a time that is playing directly to your clientele. So it's not just that they are investing something. They seem to be investing in the right things that make sense.
So this is a $40 million improvement. Again, out of their own pocket, privately financed, all that stuff. You may be right that at a certain point, you know, chicken tender costs an extra 50 cents.
If my barbecue sandwich from last night goes from 13 to 14, I'm still all right. If it goes up to 20, then we got an issue.
Then we got something to deal with. But, so the question I want from you guys on the phones, I always think these are fun because they're ideas that I never think of.
Right.
We've had success with this talking about FedEx Field because there's plenty of things that you can improve out there. What would you like to see done? What needs improving at Capital One Arena? What could they do to either win you back, improve the experience if you already go, make you more excited, happier? They're already doing some stuff on their own. I mentioned concessions, more comfortable seats with cup holders. I said new restaurants, improving the sound system. I don't know what else, but they're planning on doing it on their own. Good for them. What else would you like to see? 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Howard Beck will join us at 1 o'clock to go through the NBA trade deadline and what he sees in the second half of the season. That's 45 minutes away, 40 minutes away, 30 minutes away, rather. Good God, my math is terrible.
I was told there would be no math.
Listen, I'm not good at certain things. That's one of them. Next, your calls, 800-636-1067. What do you want to see at Capital One Arena? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Trucks for concerts, whatever the heck. I've been there a number of times. I'm going tonight. I'm going to the Caps game tonight. They're playing Columbus for the second time in as many nights, it seems.
Second time in as many games.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
Yeah, I know you did.
I only speak for a joke.
Then you paused for an awkward amount of time, so I was like, does he want me to correct him or no?
No, I'm just gathering my thoughts, myself. And it's good on a live radio medium like this.
Buying you time.
Buying some time. 800-636-1067. What do you want to see? Capital One is getting a little bit of a renovation, a little facelift. $40 million funded by Monumental Sports Network. I think that's awesome. Craig thinks it's awesome, too. I got a short little list. What would you like to see improve before we jump to the phones, Craig? You were there last night.
Yeah, I think the food prices definitely, it's like there's nowhere to get a cheap eat. And I understand that you're going to wind up paying somewhere. And for an arena like that, where they don't control the parking and things around it, the concessions is kind of where they're going to have to get you. So I don't know if there's a change to the business model that's possible. I would love to see some kind of cheap eats available somewhere in Capital One Arena. That would be dope. The other things they've actually, my biggest gripe when I came up here, so the Mavericks do an amazing job, and that's the team I cover down in Dallas.
Yes, they do.
And their game presentation is awesome. They had great videos, like great bits, all this kind of stuff. And when I first got here, I was like, man, this game presentation's terrible. And they've done a good job of investing like in their video department, and now the videos they put on, like the pregame video or the in-game videos, that stuff is awesome. So they've actually already ticked off the biggest box on my list.
I have a couple things that I would like. I want it, and this may, you know, because I don't have season tickets. I used to share some with a buddy. I'd go to like 10, 12 Wizards games a year. I had to cut that back just for a number of reasons. He got rid of them because the seats got really expensive. I want to make it easier to get up.
That's actually a great call.
It sounds stupid.
I don't get, it's funny because I'm a terrible person to ask. I actually went as a fan, as I said last night. My guy Chris Gora is my podcast partner, trained a couple of the Celtics before the draft last year. So we got tickets from Semi Ojeleye of the Celtics. So I went with Chris and sat with him. So it was weird not being in a media seat. So things like going up in the arena, I don't do very often. So getting, but the few times I have, it's like, where the hell's the escalator again?
Yeah, so there's, I don't know exactly what I'm trying to say, but I want it simplified to have, whether it's more escalators, whether it's more elevators, just more and easier ability to get up and down, to change levels. That's hard to do in a structure that already exists like that.
Right.
I always find myself, though, walking around, and I've been there dozens and dozens of times like everybody else. I always find myself walking around extra far, doubling back once, figuring out, oh, that's where the best escalator is, and then like ending up asking somebody. It's fine. I end up at my seat, but I'd like it to be easier, simplified. You already touched on cheaper concessions, or I just don't think that's in the cards. It's an urban arena. It's in one of the most expensive places to live in the country. They got to pay their rent. I get it. I'd love it.
Yeah.
I'm not anti it, but I don't think it's realistic. To me, more of what they just started to do here, the Nationals Park, as I keep touching on, when it opened, There was nothing about it that said D.C., except for if you were on the first baseline, you could see the Capitol. Well, the Learners promptly put a parking garage in left field, so you can't see the Capitol anymore unless you're in the triple-triple upper deck, in the nosebleeds. From there, they started to slowly add D.C. things. Capital One Arena, what's D.C. about it other than the fact that it's in D.C. and it's off the metro, right? It's right there when you get out. More local things, because D.C. has exploded as a food
city. See, here's the thing, though, with the more D.C. things. Are you talking like, hey, we need more pictures of the monuments that, like, touristy D.C., that things that people identify with D.C.? Because, like, that's the thing about this city is there's so many different neighborhoods and so many different flavors of D.C. Like, what do we consider the D.C. thing?
It's a great question. And it's you run the risk of being, like, the touristy stuff if you just have a picture of the Jefferson somewhere. Like, who cares? But I guess whether it's, a go-go mural or whether it's, the more things that are intrinsic to D.C. I mean, like,
we just need a Ben's Chili Bowl stand.
Well, that's a big one. But Sugar Ray Leonard's from around the corner. I mean, like, there's plenty of things you can do to celebrate the history of the city without being over-the-top hammy. Be like, what a monumental town. Like, a picture of the monuments. Like, with a bunch of rich guys giving thumbs up.
But there are also good things at Nats Park. Like, the President's Race is a very cool, like, it is touristy, but it's also like, yeah, that makes sense in D.C. You know, when you do the little race on the screen where you have to pick which car goes, like, let's make that a metro. So, of course, then again, they never arrive and everything would be late, so that probably wouldn't work.
Right, so you look around the Capital One Arena, Jose Andres has basically made that his home court.
Right.
He's got a bunch of restaurants down there. Oyamel's amazing. Even the Tapas place, because, again, Tapas is wrong. It's incorrect. No one should do it.
I agree, but their stuff, like, go there and get a sandwich.
Yeah, but it's delicious.
Yeah.
But, again, the food shouldn't, no one should be sharing food. But the point I'm making is that area's got so many local D.C. things.
Yeah.
Like a kid who went to Georgetown Day School opened up Hill Country. His first one was in New York, but he's a D.C. guy. Hill Country, right inside the damn arena. You could do a million things. The Black family, their series of restaurants. Black Salt, they've got Pearl Dive Oyster Bar. They've got delicious, incredible places. Something with them.
So basically, you want more D.C. food.
Exactly, because D.C. went from, what do we have? Mambo sauce, which is kind of a homemade version of kind of a sweet sort of thing that you put on wings, to we've got D.C. things now, man. This is a great food city. It didn't used to be when I grew up, but now it is. I think there are options there. More of that. 800-636-1067. Let's go to Julian in Rockville. Julian, what should they add to Cap One Arena?
Hey, man, I just wanted to touch on the concessions. I mean, I feel like if they can do that in Atlanta for the Falcons, I understand, like, the parking is a thing, but I mean, there's got to be some way that they can figure it out financially and put that in a $40 million budget or whatever. And then also, it would be kind of cool to have this Cap skate through a giant eagle head or something.
Oh, like when it come out of the tunnel. I like it. Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, the thing is, you're going to wind up paying for it somewhere, whether it's raised ticket prices, which then raises the point of entry, which is bad because then all of a sudden you're eliminating the people who will. You know what? We'll go get McDonald's on the way to the game for our three kids, but at least we can still afford the game. You want to keep that crowd. So if at the end of the day, the luxury experience of actually buying the food in the arena, what a luxury, is the where you have to pay. I guess that's better than on the ticket price. But yeah, I would love to figure out something. I'm curious how the Falcons pulled that off.
There's something that they did. I can't figure out how they did
it. What line on the spreadsheet got inflated so that one could get deflated?
Yeah, they're making money somewhere. I don't know what it is. Whether it's a tax bill in the end. I'm not an economist. I don't know the difference. I don't know where they got it or how they did it. I just know that it was a wild success. Yeah. They made more money doing it that way than they would have had they charged normal prices. I mean, I guess I keep going back to the same thing. There's a Clyde that touches the Verizon Center.
Right.
That Clyde's is always so packed. So, so, so packed. What if the Clydes was inside? What if there's on the club level? Club level Clydes, club level Clydes. Clydes is a D.C. restaurant chain. It's the Clydes restaurant group.
Yeah.
Every time you go to Clydes, you know what it is? Delicious.
Yeah, quintessential D.C.
They're so good. They do Old Ebbitt. They do the whole nine yards. They're awesome. They do the Hamilton. All those D.C. things are available to you. Just bring it in. Get a little bit closer. Rob in Woodbridge, what should Capital One Arena do?
Hey, I got two things, boys. First one, I'd like to see an update on the center ice screen. Give it more of like a 360-degree angle. The second is, if you've ever been to a Chicago Blackhawks game, the pregame opening is off the charts awesome. It's they do the full, video presentation actually on the ice, and it's amazing. So that's all I got.
Appreciate it, man. So he's talking like the Jumbotron.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying earlier, like the pregame videos. But like even last night, Wizards have a great video, and the last piece of imaging in it is the wall shot against the Celtics last year, which is one of the great moments in certainly in recent Wizards history.
Yeah.
If not in Wizards history, period.
You got to go back 40 years.
You want to know who had a reaction to it? No one.
Right.
It goes to the people. You contrast that with, I used to work in Lawrence, Kansas, and would go to games at the Fog. It is everything you've ever heard about and more. And at the end of their opening montage, they have the Mario Chalmers shot against Memphis that won them a title. You want to know what happens? Everybody in the building goes bananas, and you get goosebumps. I have no affiliation at all with the University of Kansas. I got goosebumps every single time. So at some point, the game experience has to come down to the people in the building making it more.
Right.
So that I don't know what you can do to make that happen, but that's why things like the concessions and making them more affordable, so the quote-unquote true fans and the less corporate types are in the building. That's how that's going to happen.
We've got lots of corporate Craigs here. I mean, that's just part of it. Okay, it is, and that's going to happen. I can tell you, again, my good friend, who should be the exact type of person that the Wizards and other organizations are cultivating, had season tickets when they were bad in 2011, but he was excited to go see John Wall. That ticket price over the course of a handful of years doubled, and he finally went, I can't do this anymore, even though they're much better. I sat through bad so I can get to good, but I can't pay this anymore. That's a shame. So you're right. That's going to happen. You're the quote-unquote true fan or whatever. A Boston fan last night who gets their one-off. It's a one-time splurge. You pay that every night. That's a big chunk of change. That's right. Going to be a problem in D.C. It just is.
And during the playoffs, it was interesting because I went to all of the home games last year in that series. The Wizards fans showed up. It wasn't a Celtics crowd last year at Verizon when it was Verizon. Last night at Capital One with the new name and it not being the playoffs, there were a ton of Celtics fans there. And so people will pay for the premium events. They will show up when it matters. But can you night in and night out produce a crowd that is in an environment that is worth going to? And so far, they haven't been able to figure that out. And I think these renovations will help. The question is much further down the road will we be?
Yeah, how does it stretch? How far does it go? Anyway, bottom line is this. Good job, Monumental Sports. Good job,
yes.
Ted. Good job, everyone who made this decision. I am excited about it. Also excited about the NFL draft. I got a list. I want to run some guys by you, Craig, and see if your rankings match Bucky Brooks, our buddy with NFL.com. We'll do that 5 minutes away on The Fan. Hey, guys. Danny Ruye for my pals at Pro Flowers. It's time. Valentine's Day. She's coming quick. She is on the way to you. You better get this right. Here's how you get it right. ProFlowers.com. Make the move that I have made 4 years. You can go standard. You can go the Valentine's Day bouquet. You can go the classic red roses, the standard Valentine's type stuff. But find out a little bit. Find out what kind of flowers your girl likes, because Pro Flowers, they've got that for you. They've got the wide selection. A couple years ago, found out that my wife from my mother-in-law, she loves peonies. That's the kind of flower. Never seen one. Don't know what they look like. You know who had them? Pro Flowers. Ordered those. Boom goes the dynamite. Guess who the superhero is? Take your time. It's me. You got to go to ProFlowers.com. Guaranteed to be delivered fresh, and they stay fresh for at least 7 days. You choose your delivery date, and it's guaranteed. Our listeners to the Grant and Danny program, you can save 20%. Aha! 20% off your purchase of $29 or more. Hurry and order today. Valentine's Day is next week. You get 20% off your purchase of $29 or more by using my promo code Grant and Danny in the special codes box at checkout. So it's proflowers.com, special code Grant and Danny. Take $20 off and do it right on Valentine's Day. You can tweet us throughout the show at Funny Danny and at Craig Hoffman for Craig Hoffman, who is in for Grant H. Paulson. You can tweet at Grant H. Paulson. Somebody, I guess a podcaster, tweeted me yesterday, said, quote, your Fury Road take is possibly the worst in your long and storied career of terrible, terrible takes. I still love your show somehow. So that is not a forehanded compliment. That's a backhanded one.
So you got that going for you.
Which is nice. My take on Fury Road, my correct opinion, by the way, on this. Fury Road, a self-important, bloviated, nonsensical piece of crap. It's a weird road trip movie where nobody talks and they just go around in a circle. That's what they did. They went around in a circle. The premise of the movie, they just pulled the rug out from under you and lied that it was what it was. So in other words, it's not a good plot device to be like, the thing that we told you was true actually wasn't true. It's not clever. It's not well done. They literally just went around in a circle and that's what happened. Special effects and stuff were cool. Soundtrack was fine. Everybody lost their minds, Craig, because Charlize Theron had one arm and grease on her face. So everybody loved it. Everyone had to love it. They feel like they were supposed. If you don't love it, it means like you don't like women or something. It's just a pedestrian, self-important piece of crud. So I stand by it, sir. And thank you for the compliment, even though it was not a forehand, it was a backhand. Welcome back to the show. It's great Danny here on the Fan. I'll save myself the tweet. I was just tweeting him that, and I was like, you know, why don't I just say it? I've got this microphone.
Sure.
But I didn't have
clearly listening.
Didn't have a pen. I had a mountaintop. I had a newscast. All right, let's get into this. I wanted to ask you about this. Grant and I were kicking this around earlier this week, and I wanted to get your take on it, especially because you've got a different viewpoint of some guys. He did something I think is really cool. We love Bucky Brooks on the show. He did a scouting breakdown where he went top five at all the positions, right, of the guys coming out in the draft. His quarterback rankings, Rosen, Darnold, Mayfield, Jackson, and Josh Allen, the kid that's got the polarizing viewpoints from Wyoming. Not terribly productive, but is it the receiver's fault, scheme fault, offense fault? Who knows? Or is it his fault? Who's to say? So those are his rankings. Want to get yours in a second. But then we can go through some of the other positions and see where yours early kind of takes before we've done deep dives into these kids really end up matching up. I know you've got a quarterback take, though, that's different from Grant and I's.
Yeah, so I would actually probably agree with Bucky. Rosen seems like the most consistent guy, although there's frame concerns with him. Darnold scares the living daylights out of me because his good is so – he's a lot like Allen, but not quite as dramatic. He was more productive, where his good is really good, but his bad is like, what? Like, wait, this is a first-round pick? I like Baker Mayfield. The guy I like that I know Grant doesn't and that you're a lukewarm on is Lamar Jackson. The more people that I know who watch tape of Lamar Jackson go, wait a second, why isn't everyone talking about Lamar Jackson? So they get into the tape and they I mean, obviously he's super productive. He won the Heisman, then had a better year and didn't win the Heisman in terms of his numbers. Their offensive line wasn't very good, so he ran around and everyone thinks he's just a runner. No, his offensive line wasn't that good. He can make all of the throws. His arm strength is incredible. And he's not just a straight line runner. He is an elusive runner. When he runs, it matters. Sure, there's some frame questions, but like Kirk Cousins isn't that bulky. Like Kirk's a really slight dude who survived quite well in the NFL. Lamar hasn't been that banged up in college. The frame stuff doesn't scare me as much. To me, if you're a team that can work with him and has a little bit of time to let him develop into the NFL, I would, and by the way, he, as much as Bobby Petrino's got a lot of issues on a lot of different things, he does run some pro concepts, obviously was a pro coach at one point, so he's played in an offense at Louisville that might be even more conducive to than, say, Mason Rudolph did at Oklahoma State, although Rudolph, his offense was pretty multiple, and I like him a lot, too.
So Lamar Jackson is the name that, I don't want to say it's polarizing, because...
No, he is, because there's some people that think he totally stinks, and there's some people that go he's better... Look, I want to be careful that I word this correctly to people listening to me. You can make a legitimate argument that the player that Lamar Jackson is was better than the player that Michael Vick was coming out of Virginia Tech. Vick had an it factor that was incredible. And obviously, as a pro, he turned out to be very, very good through a lot of ups and downs for some reasons on the field and some reasons self-induced off. But as a passer, Lamar Jackson's better, and he's super electric as a runner. And he's certainly a better passer and a better runner in by NFL standards than Robert Griffin was. And Vic went one and Griffin went two. So why is there even a debate on Lamar Jackson is a valid question to a point.
So I think people get scared. And it's unfair to do comps. Like every time when Robert Griffin was coming out, everyone had to say, you know, a previous black quarterback. Whereas the guys that we talked to were going, hey, here, his comp is Steve Young. That's like his, you know, everybody just sort of always associates it. And then they feel guilty about associating it. Sometimes it's okay you associate it with a guy that he mirrors.
But it's also never like, his comp is Todd Collins. No, it's always like Steve Young, Joe Montana. Like, can we settle down on the five greatest quarterbacks ever as the comp for every guy that comes out?
Sure. So when you look at Jameis Winston and people go, his comp on the downside is Byron Leftwich, everyone's like, oh, everyone gets mad. Well, actually, he's talking about a guy with a slow release who, you know, is a winner, who's been a stud at times, but whether that works out or not. Or his other comp is Ben Roethlisberger, but that doesn't, I guess, kind of move needles. Anyway, I'm digressing. But when people see somebody that's that fast, that's quick, that incredible as a runner, because that to me is like a wide receiver type athleticism that Lamar Jackson has, plus his ability to throw the football, there's the default to a lot of folks, I think, now to go, I'm so scared that he just wants to leave clean pockets. I'm scared of the Manziel gene. I'm scared of what I think is the Mayfield gene, where it's the drop back, a guy's open, a guy's there, you don't throw it to him because who knows why. You didn't see it, or you didn't read it, or it's a You're looking at one guy, one time, one key, and if it doesn't work, you're more athletic than everybody, you go run. That scares people, I think, these days.
And it should. By the way, we got Howard Beck coming up. So planning on the fly here. Do you want to get back to this 115? I feel like there's more meat on this bone.
Yeah, I want to go through some of these categories. It's a good conversation because we can talk running back, certainly, but then some of the defensive linemen, pass rushers, wide receivers would have been more interesting. But you're right. Howard Beck knows the association. What happened yesterday? What did Cleveland do? How the hell did they do it? Where does everybody stand in the East after the dust settles? Howard Beck, 101 here. 107.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.